Hi, this is Sassy Seppi, and you are listening to the Oversell Podcast. And if you turn that dial, I'll make you kiss my sass.
It is episode 26, and we are talking about all things professional wrestling and then talking to Andrew Palmer of SBW. Stick around. This is the Oversell Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I'm Dan.
I am Mike.
And we are here to talk a little professional wrestling. The gang is back and we are better than ever.
Yes.
Missed you guys last week. Big shout out to Josh McClain for joining me and talking a little wrestling in you guys' absence, but miss my guys.
Thanks to Josh for stepping in. Very interesting show last week.
having your guests sing your intro music is a nice touch to the show.
But
big thanks out to Josh. Be sure you're listening to him on KO Radio, him and Eric Wayne on the local X app, and download Josh's album. Download, go find his band's album. Plenty of projects for you to catch up on, Josh McClain.
Oh, yeah.
Guys.
Yes.
WWE is in a stink right now, a big stink. And one thing I wanted to talk about tonight, what are some of the things we think they can do to kind of get them out of this funk?
Okay.
The first thing I think I've said it before. I'll say it again. Raw is too long.
I'll agree with you there.
3 hours is just too much. Plus if you want to watch NXT, that's 4 hours. SmackDown, that's 6 hours. Plus any other thing you may want to watch on the network. I mean,
yeah.
If there's a pay-per-view, that's another 3 hours.
Or four, depending on the pay-per-view.
Right.
But they need to worry not so much about having more time, but having quality time.
I would say, yeah. I think, really, they could cut out. And I think they put too much emphasis on the segments a lot of times.
Yeah.
They could cut out a lot of the segments and add to the wrestling matches easy.
Yes.
But, you know, they're all into the drama and everything. They're a man's soap opera.
Yeah.
You know, and they have to have that soap opera part. But I feel like they overdo it a lot.
And, you know, that moves on to something else I think they should stop doing is those backstage skits or what have you where they're not looking at the camera. They don't even acknowledge the camera's there.
Right.
Because they have this whole thing like, well, on television shows and movies, they don't look in the camera. Well, this is different. But then you
come back from a commercial break and you got an interview guy standing right there in front of the camera, acknowledging the camera.
Right. Yeah. And
it's kind of stupid.
Some other small things, but like the interview guy never says, back to you guys, back to you, Byron, back to you, Michael, back to you, Cole, which another point, get rid of Byron Saxton. I hate him on commentary.
Yeah.
I hate the commentary that they have going right now. Bring Corey Graves in to do
Corey Graves should be on main roster commentary right now. He is doing a tremendous job in NXT. He talks about the match.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
Right.
Not about the next match coming up.
And you don't have to talk about little inside jokes with your pal that's sitting next to you there in the commentary booth or any shit like that.
Right.
Just talk about the damn match. Get the match over.
You're
there to help get the match over and to talk about what's going on in the ring. Instead, you got JBL and Michael Cole, and they're palling around and doing inside jokes to one another.
Right.
I hate that.
Yeah. It's just...
It's bad commentary, bad writing.
Yeah,
it's a combination of three or four different things.
Yeah. Cut it down to 8 writers,
mm-hmm.
10 writers at max. 10 writers, a booker, and a couple agents.
Anybody here think that this Kane storyline is going to go anywhere past the next pay-per-view?
This should have happened. This should have happened already.
Yeah,
we're way past where this should be.
It's throwaway stuff.
Right.
It's basically saying we're in a holding pattern until the next major pay-per-view.
Right.
That's basically all you're telling everybody at this point, because that's basically any time you throw Kane into the mix, the title's not going to change hands.
No, it's just filler.
You know?
And that just doesn't go for the main or the world heavyweight title.
And I tell you,
titles filler right now.
Yeah.
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 I mean,
and I tell you, it's something that would shock the shit out of me if Kane did win the title.
Honestly, I know we're not predictions yet because that's still, you know, 2 weeks away, really. But that's what I'm hoping happens. Kane wins. Then that's a way for Sheamus to cash in and it doesn't hurt,
yeah,
you know, Rollins or whatever.
I very sincerely hope that Kane does win. I know it won't happen.
Oh, yeah.
It hasn't happened in 10, 15 years, you know? Because, I mean, the guy, when he came in, he was a monster. He was an unbeatable monster.
Yeah.
You know, even when teaming with X-Pac, he was an unbeatable monster. And over the years, they've watered him down so much that it's just not believable that he can go out there and destroy anybody anymore.
I am entertained by his quick switches you know,
but it's a it's a recycled storyline just from TNA, you know, with Abyss.
Most everything is nowadays, though.
Yeah.
And it's not just the World Heavyweight title, but the IC title. Like, are we at the point now where we care about Ryback?
No.
I mean, and who his opponent is?
No,
I
like Ryback, don't get me wrong. I like the character, and I like the, you know, his physique is just massive. Dude, you know, probably eats a box of Captain Crunch a day. I don't know.
Right.
And he's always looks like he's having fun.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when you see him at a live event.
Yeah.
He's having a blast.
And that's what's awesome about, you know, Ryback and everything, you know. And I don't know. Maybe it's just the opponents they've given him to where that character really can't develop, you know. I mean, I think putting Miz and Big Show in the mix there, I don't think either one of us really thought that any one of us thought that was going anywhere, you know?
Right.
I would have thought maybe, you know, freaking Miz would have taken the title off of him, if anything,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Cause I thought, you know, okay, Miz, they're trying to put Miz back in the mix in something. You know, give him the IC title and then, you know, start bringing in opponents from NXT or something like that. You know, it was what I thought. But they went a completely different direction.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then, you know, and Kevin Owens and everything,
And I don't want this to be a complete, we're bashing the WWE because they have stuff that's actually working too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, more New Day.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
New Day in the main event.
Yes.
You got Hell in a Cell. Why not have, like, a big six-man tag match main event instead of Seth Rollins and Kane?
Yep.
Because I think that would be entertaining. I think it would be a great show. I like what they're doing with Dolph Ziggler. That looks like they're finally kind of turning him into a heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
And they're finally ending that
Ziggler-Rusev
thing.
See? At least they're doing something right.
Because it got leaked that, you know, Rusev and Lana actually got engaged.
I'm sure Vince was pissed about that.
Yeah,
Vince was pissed
about that. I did see that on a couple of different places.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, he tried to break them up a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because
he
doesn't think a girl like Lana would go out with a guy like Rusev.
Well, whatever.
Like, hey, man, ugly dudes get the best chicks. That's why I have a beautiful wife.
Hey, live in Nashville, just up the road from us. Let's go ask them.
Yeah. Road trip. But, you know, a lot of people complain about the way Seth Rollins is booked as the champion right now. I really don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it at all. I mean, there are the occasional weird finishes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really coming out and
doing a
champion's job of, you know, getting heat behind him and everything and whatever he needs to do. You know, he's going out there. It's not like he's pulling punches or anything. You know, he's going 100% every time you see him.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know.
And also, you say you have this Divas Revolution. I don't think there really has been a revolution yet.
It's stalled.
It's you got to start giving the ladies their own characters.
Mm-hmm.
Break them off from these factions. I want to see Sasha Banks fighting for the Divas title. I want to see a four-way match between Charlotte, Sasha, Paige, and Becky.
Yeah,
because I think that would tear the house down.
Oh yeah.
Natty's back though.
Yeah, I guess that's a positive. I mean, she's getting something.
It's been about 6 years, but
years too late. But you know, it's just. you know, ratings, I think, were, this last Raw was one of the lowest rated episodes
ever.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of that has to do with Monday Night Football, too.
Right.
That only goes so far, though. If I guarantee you in the Attitude Era, on Monday nights, Raw, more people were watching Raw than there were Monday Night Football.
I just had this thing in my head. It was like, I know y'all heard me laughing just a second ago. It was like, you know, oh, we're up against Monday Night Football. Time to bring in Kane.
Sadly, it kind of looks that
you
way.
Know, you know, just, it's a bad way of looking at it, but at the same time, it's like, yep.
And what are they going to do with, you know, Cena's supposed to be taking time off.
Yeah.
How do they fill his role?
Well, from what I understand, it, Ziggler's supposed to be getting that U.S. title.
Yep. Okay, but still,
Get some heat on Ziggler, man. Use the opportunity to get some heat on Ziggler. But at the same time, you got to think. You got three heel champions then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I also think Kevin Owens should be the Intercontinental title mm-hmm. champion.
It's a good thing he is then.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where have I been?
I don't know, man.
You
sure you didn't go to Florida last week?
I may have.
You've been doing shows with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you get for doing a show with a comedian, man?
I feel stupid now.
But because I was kind of wondering, like, the way you were going with the whole Ryback thing, talking about that, and I was like, you changed it real quick.
I'm living 2 months ago, I guess. I don't know. My bad, guys.
But, yeah, Kevin Owens is just... The thing that bothers me about it, they've already announced that him and Ryback are going to have a match at Hell in a Cell, but I don't think they've had any interaction since their last match. I mean, nothing at all. And Kevin Owens is just wrestling like the Lucha Dragons in singles matches.
Right.
And they're not doing anything to sell this match again.
George in the chat room says, let Ambrose fill the Cena void. I wouldn't have a problem with that.
He absolutely should.
I think he could.
Let Ambrose have the IC title.
I would say Ambrose and Ziggler in a feud for the U.S. title. That's just me.
That'd be nice.
I think that'd be a good feud. I think those guys would work well together.
I'd like to see that.
I tell you what else I'd like to see to fill the void with Cena.
More Kane?
NXT and a new NXT invasion. Balor, Joe, Breeze, and Corbin come up and start... You know, taking out guys
just
left
something.
And right.
Yeah,
yeah, just and book it right. You know, don't have them face John Cena and John Cena get double DDT, then come in and make the save or whatever. You know.
Yeah.
I think they have the.
We'll see Cena back at Royal Rumble.
Bring in the Balor Club. That's right. If they did that stable, you know, the NXT Invasion could be the new Balor Club. You know, could play off the Bullet Club.
Right. Right.
But that's just one thing I'd like to see it. I think those at least three of those four guys I named. Balor, I think, can go up to the main roster and be all right. Joe, I know he would be a lot.
Oh,
all
God,
right.
Oh, yeah. Joe.
I think it's time for Tyler Breeze.
Mm-hmm. It's been time for Tyler Breeze.
And I even think Baron Corbin, just in that silent enforcer for the stable role, he doesn't have to be a mic. He just has to go out there and whoop somebody's ass. You know, like, just it would be a great role for all four of those guys.
And bring back Carlito.
Bring back Kurt Angle. You know, get.
Yeah.
Bring, you got to bring.
I would love.
I would love one more Kurt Angle run.
Oh, God.
We all, I think.
But what I've read over the last couple of years, it's WWE just didn't really have much interest.
They don't have any interest in him at all.
No.
Well, I think they.
But I think it, it has to
do. It's his problems that he's.
Well, I mean, I think it has to do with the money that he wants and the schedule that he wants.
Yeah.
Well, that may have something to do with it, but.
Which,
you know,
they lowballed Carlito, too, because he threw that first offer back.
George wants Cena to come back as a heel. You know, imagine people turning in to see, like, John Cena's a heel now.
They don't have to turn John Cena heel.
He's in the...
All he's got to do is look in the camera and smile and people boo.
Yeah,
he's already a heel.
Right. All he has to do is cut one Cub Scout promo and...
Yeah.
You know.
But it would be great to actually see him as heel again.
Oh, God, yeah.
Would he go back to the Dr. Thugonomics or whatever?
I wouldn't mind that, but he didn't even have to do that. I mean, he could just stay as he is, but be heel. And it would just be
so then the,
nice just
so
to
then,
see that
so
change.
So then the kids would cheer for him, or wouldn't cheer for him, but yet
everybody else would.
Everyone over the age of 18 would.
Go back to hitting everybody with that big giant chain padlock on
with
it.
With the padlock?
Hey,
oh, yeah.
Hey, you bring back a spinner belt, and I will boo you until there's no tomorrow. Hated that damn belt.
How about that rated R one where the R spinned? Yeah, I like that, one. That
yeah. Spinner belts, toys are not good championships to me. So,
I like how that came and went with the spinner rims too, though. I mean, like as soon as they got rid of the spinner rims and they weren't cool anymore, that title stayed still.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember The Miz when he was like debuting a new title and it was just that belt with the W turned upside down?
Yeah, 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 it was great.
I like how whenever he comes out with the microphone, he has it upside down, so it's still the M.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And he still has nice that Iman look too, which he needs to get rid of that too. Hey, George, we've been talking about in the chat room. Anything else you wanted to say about maybe what WWE could do to improve their product? I know you already said put Sasha in a main stage and she'll shine. Sasha's the best one of the best wrestlers on the roster.
She's the most over, definitely.
Yeah, that match. Did y'all get to see NXT TakeOver Respect?
I got to see clips of it in the end.
Yeah. That Sasha, I didn't think you could top it. Their first match, mm-hmm. Sasha and Bayley fucking broke it down.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear what the heel thing that Sasha did?
Mm-mm.
She went up, you know, Izzy? The little,
yeah.
She had one of those things that like Bella has on the hair things.
Mm-hmm.
Took it off her head, put it on her own head, got in the ring, started crying like a little baby, took it off, and then threw it, and it hit the dad in the head.
Oh.
And me and Josh talked about it last week. Izzy started crying. She started bawling. I mean, the tears were flowing. Your first thought when you see Izzy crying is, that bitch.
Yeah.
But after the match, they gave Sasha and Bayley flowers.
Yeah. Bouquets. I saw that part.
Sasha gave hers to Izzy, gave her a little fist bump, you know, pretty much saying,
yeah,
you know, we're cool. I bet you if they
didn't
something
Izzy
like
have
that,
a sign after that saying, yeah, you should have took my headband, Sasha.
Well, no, she said, next time you want my headband, you can just ask.
Oh, yeah.
But I bet you they probably told the parents, like, hey, this is going to happen.
Right.
Because, like, I think if you saw the mom, she was kind of, had to hide her. She was like.
Yeah.
Like, if it was my kid and she got something snatched off her head by some ratchet bitch.
Yeah. There was a guy at the Wildfire show that I went to a few months ago, and he had a cowboy hat on, and somebody took his cowboy hat off and was, you know, wearing it in the ring and stuff, and he didn't like that. he looked like he was fixing to start raising some hell about that cowboy hat, getting his cowboy hat back, and I was just like, oh, y'all better give that cowboy hat back there. You know, we don't want a lawsuit, you know.
Hey, speaking of Wildfire Wrestling, October 29th, they're going to have their big Halloween show.
Yep.
Be sure to check it out. It's going to be at Woodland Hills out there on Houston Levee.
Very, very nice venue.
Yes. And it's got some great workers, I think. Dustin Starr is going
to
be there.
There's no excuse to miss this show.
Precious.
It's in a very nice, very nice venue, awesome talent. No reason to miss this.
George's recommendation to improve the current product, stop building major storyline around guys over 40. You got a lot of young talent on the roster.
What do you mean, brother?
You know, and they're trying to build towards this big WrestleMania 32 show. And having shows like this, that's not the best way to do it. I mean, you can't just rely on what you're going to be doing from the Royal Rumble on to WrestleMania. You got to start now.
Yeah.
You got to start at the latest Survivor Series. You better start pushing to what you want at WrestleMania.
You need to at least tease it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Tease it to where
and
it's
usually
like,
by now they're doing something to get you hyped for Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this Hell in a Cell build is just not good.
All it is it's another Brock Undertaker match.
Yeah.
That's the whole card.
Yeah.
Is that.
Yeah. I don't have high expectations for Seth Rollins and Kane.
It bothers me how they're like, you know, their first match, you know, at WrestleMania, and they're excluding the entire feud that they had back in like 2003,
right,
or whatever, when they've already had their Hell in a Cell match.
Yep.
And it's just like, no, never happened. This is the first time they've ever done anything.
Just like Triple H and The Undertaker didn't happen way back when.
He's already beat him like twice in a Hell in a Cell match. He's already beat Undertaker twice in a Hell in a Cell match.
And like, at the time, Undertaker had injured Undertaker, and Undertaker had the cast on his hand.
Yeah.
He was using that as a weapon.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by SPW's own Andrew Palmer. Stick around. This is the Oversell Podcast. It's the final countdown. The final countdown. Welcome back to the Oversell Podcast, and joining us now is SPW superstar Andrew Palmer. Andrew, thank you for coming on the show, man. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks. I appreciate you guys having me, but you said superstar. Like, I literally did like a double take to nothing here. You know, looking around, like, wait, what? But yeah. No, that's very sweet. And I'm happy to be here. Very, very, very happy to be here, actually.
Now, just before we went on the air, we were talking about Emma and her cooking commercial, and you and Mike are like...
You're connected at the hip now.
You're connected at the hip now, and we...
That's awesome.
I was trying to go into like a story, but I was like, we got to start recording because this is going to be hilarious. But like...
It's like I said, and I hate to cut you off, but I mean, I've got to get this thought. Like, I love cooking, but I'm not a good chef, like, in the slightest, which is extremely ironic if you know my cavalcade of characters includes a chef.
Yeah.
I'm a really bad, really, really bad at cooking. I mean, I've got, like, 3 dishes, and Emma is just great. Like, I think she's so underutilized and has a lot of real good potential that could be utilized in a lot of different areas.
You know,
so,
freaking,
I mean, you've got cooking.
Freaking
yes.
Hilarious because,
Emma,
like, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
This is so hilarious to me because this is like Emma strikes a chord apparently with like a lot of the male fandom, you know, for WWE, which I think is hilarious. But what is it? Is it her Australian accent?
That because, definitely adds to it.
Okay, that explains a lot.
It's a hot chick with an accent. She can wrestle and she cooks.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of accents, either male or female. I think the accents are really, really great, which, again, ironic. I try to practice a non-regional diction, so it's kind of cool, though, that I enjoy accents so much. I'm a really complex guy. Like, and again, I'm really confused as to why you wanted me on here, but, man, this is going to be a showcase in strange.
Well, you know, part of it is I really enjoyed watching you wrestle out there when I went up with Dan for the SPW show. I thought you put on a great match. You're extremely agile for a guy of your size. That I saw you do a spinning heel kick that looked as good as some cruiserweights that I've seen throw. And other than that, like, you're just a really cool guy. And I wanted to talk to you about wrestling. You know, you talked to me pretty much the whole show except when you had your match. And, man, how'd you get started? Yeah. What got you into wrestling?
Okay, it's a very specific night. I remember it was, I'm going to butcher the date, but it was December 20-something of 1998. I was watching WCW Nitro with some cousins of mine at my grandmother's after Christmas, and I was just like, what is this nonsense? And literally, I think the very first thing I saw was the just epic Ric Flair promo where he just went just absolutely bonkers, took all his clothes off, started like throwing shoes and elbow dropping his jacket, handcuffs himself, and just like, I'm going home! And then like takes his pants off, and I was just like, okay. So every Monday night this happens, yes? And cousins were like, yeah. And I was like, all right, cool, so what else happened?
I've seen that video making the rounds on Facebook lately, and it was like, took 4 scoops of pre-workout. Don't know what happened next.
Exactly. Yes. But the next thing was Booker T. And, I mean, Booker's great. He's fabulous. Awesome worker. I mean, in every single aspect of the game, he's got it on, you know, on lock. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think after that we had a cruiserweight match, and then we had some Kevin Nash. And, I mean, at that point I was just like, can it be Monday again, please? And I loved it, man. So every bit of wrestling I could absorb or talk about or read about, I'm a big reader. So, like, I loved the PWI Almanac as a kid. Like, I remember thinking that Too Cold Scorpio was probably the coolest wrestler in the whole world just because he had the coolest name in the world. Like, I had no idea he was this awesome black dude that did flippies and, like, chain wrestled your face off, kicked your teeth out. Like, I had no clue who he was until I was maybe 14 or 15. But, like, 8-year-old Drew was like, Too Cold Scorpio goes hard, man. I'll tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
So, for sure.
So were you strictly a WCW fan back in the day, or did you kind of flip back and forth between WWF and WCW?
Well, I flipped back and forth. My whole life, I've kind of been, like, very faith-oriented. Like, I've grown up in the church, you know. And so my parents, they weren't big fans of the Attitude Era. They didn't like all the nudity and the suck it and the Stone Cold and stuff.
Yeah.
So I wasn't really allowed to watch. But then once I kind of grew up and I got to be kind of a smooth negotiator, I would tell my dad, you know, well, I need to know what's out in the world, you know, so that I can not do that.
So, of course, then,
you know, I started watching Raw, and, you know, once WWE went out of business.
And then came the WWE Network, and you could go back and watch everything that you missed before, and you were like, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yes. That's almost verbatim, actually, my conversations with myself. Like, I'll see, like, Starcade 98 will come on, and then I'll just feel like, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
Man, this is a good day, man. I love it all, really. Like, there's some really, really old school stuff I haven't watched, but, I mean, anything I can watch, I love to watch, because, you know, there's something good about everything.
Right. Now, you mentioned Ric Flair and Booker T. Were there any other guys that stood out, like, and when they were on TV, you know, you were going to be sure you're glued in front of it and you would not miss? Was there any specific guys like that?
A1, like, the number one bro, Kevin Nash. Like, Pat... Dan is with you, and Dan has known me for a couple of years now, I'd say, for a minute.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure he's heard, like, the ribs with Kevin Nash and me. Like, I love Kevin Nash. It's so weird. I mean, I'm such a mark, and I don't care right now, but he's awesome. Like, I could try to tell you why, but I don't know.
And, you know, I always was a big fan of Kevin Nash, you know, and then, I mean, like, even his attitude – his nonchalant attitude of the business and everything is like, you know, he told it straight up in his Hall of Fame speech. I'm in it to make money. I'm not in it to be famous. I'm not in it to do nothing else. I was in it to make money, you know? He was straight up telling the truth, you know?
Yeah, man. Good on,
to
man.
Freaking,
I mean,
like, tell the truth, you know?
For sure, man. Absolutely, dude. I think that's a great point because, I mean, it's just like you said, you know, his attitude is so just, it's refreshing because, you know, and again, this is going to be really ironic coming from me, trying to be really, you know, I try to be really down to earth about a lot of things and try to, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm just a guy who's trying to have fun and live a dream, you know, make a little money while I'm at it. Let's be real about it though. So I don't know, man.
And anytime you're in a show and Andrew Palmer is there, be sure you stop by the Andrew Palmer merchandise table.
Oh. Thank you for getting that plug in, man. I would have felt like such a schmo to be like, you know, if ever show them, please, for real, buy a cheese duck shirt, come and holler at me. At least, that's one thing, though. Like, even if you don't buy something, if you're going to pay the money to come and be at a show, and I'm there trying to interact, like, you're really disservicing yourself to not, and not just me. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, Andrew Palmer's the best. Like, what are you doing? But, like, any wrestler, any, you know, any booth, any table that's there, I recommend going up and interacting. You're paying the money. And this is just like, okay, again, let's use cooking. It would be like if you're going to make a dish and you're not going to season it. It's like, okay, yeah, you're going to get it done, but you have all this extra stuff that can make it so much better. Why are you not using that?
Right. That's an awesome point. That's an awesome point. And, I mean, you know, people don't realize, you know, before any of these guys got to WWE, 75% of them these days came from the indies. You know,
certainly.
They worked their way up the ladder in the indies and everything and got noticed and everything. And some of them were actually told, you know, during a WWE tryout prior, hey, go out on the indies, make a name for yourself and come back. And they did exactly that. So, I mean, you know, you may go to an indie show, get an autograph of a guy who you'll see on WWE in 5 years. You know, you never know.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way to – and, I mean, that's whenever I was a kid, you know, I remember wanting to go to all the local shows because, you know, I didn't know those guys, but I wanted to know those guys. And then, you know, you move on down the road and you find out 10 years later, oh, you know, that guy that I saw in Jackson, Tennessee, yeah, he's definitely working for the Fed now. What's up with that?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So who helped train you?
Training. Training is kind of a kind of a fun subject. My first real kick into wrestling was with Outlaw Don Bass at SPWA. And he was he's very old school. I'm sure you could probably assume that. Did you ever meet Don?
I've met Don plenty of times.
I'm really, like, lately I'm trying to subscribe to the philosophy of if I can't say something nice, don't say things.
Yeah. Well, I think all that could be said about Don Bass was said in our interview with Downtown Bruno.
See, I still need to listen to the Bruno interview.
You would like Bruno's opinion on Don Bass.
I'm sure I would. The worst thing about it, too, is that for Bruno, who's, like, done it all and been everywhere, and Dan, if it turns out you're just blowing smoke, man, I'm going to, like, cry literally tonight when I go to sleep. I'm going to, like, roll over and cry just cuddling my dog in tears. Because Bruno apparently has such a high opinion of me, and, again, no clue why. Like, I'm just a funny-looking bald dude with a beard. Like, I'm just a guy. Mm-hmm. But Bruno is the coolest guy ever, man. Like,
yeah.
He's literally the coolest guy ever.
And see, that's people. Bruno loves genuine people. You know, and that's why, you know, he kind of, like, you know, buddied up to you, you know.
Yeah, well,
he let me and
best,
you are
man.
Genuine people. I mean, like, I'm not calling Bruno constantly trying to get free WWE tickets. You know, he calls me and asks me how my kids are on a weekly basis. So, you know, it's kind of cool. But to be friends with somebody like that, you know, what's really funny is, like, remembering, like, my grandfather cussing at him at the TV.
Dude, I remember cheering whenever he got his ass kicked at the Mid-South Coliseum. I mean, I was there with my dad, and I couldn't stand the guy. But after meeting him, I was like, he seems like the greatest dude in the world.
Yes, he's the greatest guy ever. And just to sit and talk with him and have conversations is just awesome, you know, because he'll bring up wrestling stories just out of the blue, just talking to you and everything. So, but yeah. If you haven't listened to the episode with us and Bruno, you definitely got to do that. So,
and
yeah,
you can do that.
I'm gonna have to tell all of the listeners, you know, I'm gonna be literally, like, once I hang up the phone, I'm going to be downloading the episode with Bruno, and I'm gonna be listening to it just because, like,
it's 2 hours long, so, you know, set aside some time.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to have to carve out a block. Hey, you know, actually, tomorrow's going to be a terrible day at work at the old shooter, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to have to like, bring all earphones in.
There you go.
Yeah.
Get to listen at work. Yeah, that'll be great.
And for those listening at home, you can do that at oversellpodcast.com and click the Amazon link and spend lots of money with Amazon so we can get a kickback.
There you go.
Sorry, I had to throw out a plug.
Yes.
No, I was getting fast one thing, man. I love it.
So how'd you get started with SPW?
SPW, well, I was going to say, you know, from training with Don, you know, at that point, and, you know, there is something I can say positively about Don. I learned a lot, you know. One compliment I've always gotten is that my bumping and, like, rolling and selling is extremely natural. And, you know, I don't know that for a fact. You know, I've never watched a match of mine in, you know, in person because I am me. So, anyway, like, I've always heard that, though. And Don was just another, you know, another kicker to that. Like, I definitely learned how to roll and the basics and stuff correctly. And I've always been of the mindset, you know, if I can learn how to do it, then I can tell the stories. You know, the story of a match has always been something I've really, really loved. And, you know, what does this mean? Like, what does that expression mean? What is this move saying? And guys that really progressed me along are, like, Izzy Rotten, who has a terrible reputation, but is, I think, one of the generally most misunderstood people in wrestling. I think he'll be the first to tell you he's messed up a lot. And he deserves his bad reputation, but he has a good heart at the heart of him. I just think he has a bad way of expressing things and getting his point across. Another guy, Sean Reed, who's fabulous in the ring. And
I had a very short run-in with Izzy. I've known Sean for a long time, though. Actually, pretty much my entire stint in wrestling. And Sean is a great guy, great guy to be around in the locker room, great guy to learn
from.
He
really is. And I feel like especially, I don't want to be a heat magnet here, but, like, he gets a bad rep because of personal things. that happened, and people can't put that aside.
Yeah, but it's
in the ring around here. He's top notch A1, and he really pushed me to be better. Like every single week, I could go to his house and watch matches, and he would say, "This is wrong. This is right. This is amazing. Do this every match, and you will get over. You know, this is so good. This is bad." And then once, you know, a couple of SPW shows had rolled by, and I met Dan, and I'll give Mo credit as well. Dan and Mo both were guys who had such good pedigree in the business, and both literally, it seemed like they were like oozing passion for the business. And, you know,
you might be early.
I don't know if I've ever told you this, Dan, but the first time I met Dan, he looked like maybe like a hardened serial killer. And so I was like, okay, I really like to be lighthearted. I really like to be friendly. But I was like, I'm going to have to show this guy, like, I respect him immensely, because obviously he knows so much. I've heard stories, you know, the weeks prior, you know, Dan Matthews is coming, Mo Stiegel's coming. These are guys that have done, you know, TV, and they know stuff, and, you know, listen to them, ask them. And I was like, okay, for sure. And then I saw Dan, and his just grizzled impression, and I was like, okay. I walked up, and I remember I said, "Hello, sir, I'm Drew." And he was like, "Dan, hello." And I was like, yeah. And I kind of walked away. And then, I don't know, Dan. Dan really helped a lot. The point of what I'm saying is that I respected Dan, and so I went to some of his training that he did before SPW shows, and like wanted to throw up quite a lot. I'm trying to think of a good way to describe my figure without really putting myself down.
Yeah.
Imagine. Dan, why don't you do this one?
You know, yeah, and like he is portly.
Yeah, okay,
he's portly, okay. But he's tall. Like, he's tall and portly.
Like, you've heard this phrase like barrel chested?
Yeah.
I think I'm like barrel person.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a large cat.
No, anyway, there's those of us that have six packs, and there's those of us that have kegs. You know,
I'm a kegger,
so, man.
And I'm a kegger now. I've gained about 20 pounds since I quit wrestling. So,
dude, damn, you still look great, though, man.
I don't know about that.
No, you do, man. I will put myself over just one little way. Since April, which was like maybe 3 months after I stopped wrestling locally and just decided to start focusing on, you know, my traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I weighed 350 pounds in April, and I'm down right now to 290.
I've got a question for you, and you might remember this. Do you remember the night that I power slammed you and we broke the ring in Selmer?
Oh, yes. Okay. We have to talk about that in much more detail. But at that point, dude, I was maybe at like 305, maybe 305.
Jesus. I power slammed a 300-pound dude.
No, and the best thing about that is, okay, let's set this up. So this was at SCW 23, which, see, here's another thing. Chris really needs to put these shows like either on YouTube or on DVD or something, because for what we had, man, we put on some great, like, really entertaining shows.
We put on some great matches and everything.
At this point, Dan was your like domineering heel, like smash mouth, I'm going to take you and destroy you heel champion, like excellent heel champion. And he has been just running through contenders and looking just absolutely demolishing. And I'm coming off a run where I was like, I'd say another really top heel and got into a spot of contention for the championship, and then we were having this big show at the big Civic Center, which always felt more like a bigger show than the Armory for some reason. I don't know why, but I'm going to go against Dan in the main for the heavyweight championship, and it's first time ever working with Dan, and I genuinely felt like that was one of the best matches that I'd ever had to that point, and I still would consider it a top 20 for myself, absolutely, because I don't know. I felt like he pushed me and made more of me, and especially in that first match, that like, because that was the start of my babyface turn that has led to the powder throwing final countdown entrancing baseball that you know and love today. So like, really, that was the genesis of it, and it was the match that Dan literally. I was on the top rope, and Dan was like, "All right, we're gonna power slam." I was like, "Sweet."
And he starts to take off. And why don't you take it from here, man?
Well, I took off the first time, and I was too far. I had too much of his chest on my shoulder. It was mm-hmm. It was a British Bulldog running power slam.
Okay.
But he was on the second rope. And
yes,
we were in the corner.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he was on the second rope, and I cut him off. He was still sitting on the top rope, and I elbowed him a couple of times and everything. And I was like, all right, you know, we can set this up and right. So I kind of grabbed him first, like probably about midway down his chest, and tried to come out of the corner. And I realized I was off balance. You know, I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to get deeper on him. So I took a step back, and we fell back to the corner a little bit. And Drew told me later, he goes, I was so disappointed. I thought you weren't going to get me up.
the thought that went through my head was like, oh. It was like, imagine like I'm like filling up with helium, like just ready to just let this balloon go. And
yeah.
You don't tie it. And it's about to like zip all over the room with just pure energy.
So,
and
yeah.
then like. Here comes this little annoying kid with a pin and just pops it right as you're blowing it.
But we fell back to the corner again. We're right back where we started, right? We're exact spot and everything. And he gets, you know, situated again. And I elbow him a couple more times to fill in, you know, make sure, you know, everything's set up right. And it's just not me grabbing and power slamming him and everything. This time I get real low. I basically do a squat underneath him. And I squatted and picked him up on my shoulder and did a running power slam across the ring to the other side of the ring, basically. And we landed pretty good in the center. But when we hit, oh, my God. Because everybody in the whole arena was like, damn!
and the cool thing about it was, too, is that, you know, afterwards when they were taking the ring down, I remember hearing, like, like a faint, just guttural roar. And, you know, I whipped around the corner to see what was going on, and they're, like, pulling up this chunk of wood. And they're like, you and Dan broke the ring! And I was like, what?
We did.
And I was like, well, you know, I'm not one to, like, complain, but, you know, I did feel a little, that smarted a little more than your usual power. I believe it was Kim, and Cam, if you're listening, you're amazing. Kenneth Campbell is like a fabulous photographer, fabulous
yeah.
ring announcer, great guy, great friend.
I
like
love Cam.
A1 plus, awesome. He's the real MVP.
We were basically picking up pieces, and it was particle board, but it was like 3/4 inch particle board though,
yeah.
you know, and we shattered it where we landed. And it was insane. I well yeah, enough forget
another,
that. I was like,
another.
We broke the ring. What did you do? A power slam.
Power slam through the ring. So, you know, that's just another, what did you say, portly? That's just another testament to my portly barrel of strength.
Right.
and another testament to Dan's just insane Popeye strength I can't explain. So, just another brief putover. Christian Shane, I guess we've already shattered kayfabe. He
yeah.
pretty much owns SPW.
Oh yeah.
So he's the man.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's one of the most underrated professional wrestlers I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Can do it all. Is so smart. Has such a passion. And it's a shame that the promotion, like the woes of promoting. It seems like it's really just taken it out of him.
It has.
I don't want to – I feel like I'm being really, like, selfish and putting myself over a lot here, but I had so many great matches with Chris, and it felt like we were, like, at WrestleMania, like, beating each other at the 50,000 people, 20,000, 90,000 people.
Yeah.
And it's just me and him. At the same time, it feels like it's just me and him in that building.
Yeah.
I wish so much more for Chris in wrestling, but at the same time, at the last show, I remember him introducing me to his girlfriend and to her son, and he smiled at me, one of the most genuine smiles I've ever seen on his face. So I don't know if you listen to this, Chris, but I'm happy that you're happy, man, and thank you again for all the help that you gave me as well.
Yeah, yeah. I had one taste of running the show during my last match. And I told everybody, you know, the show starts at 7, and people were still climbing in the, you know, the locker room at 8 o'clock, and I'm pulling my hair out going, I've had to rewrite everything, you know,
yeah,
just because you guys wanted to get here an hour later, you know. You know, so I was like, all right, you know, that was the last time I'm running the show.
Yeah, really.
So that was my one taste of running it, and I'd had enough. So
was that your retirement match, Dan?
That was my retirement match. The only match I've had since then was the night that we had the SBW reunion show, that one last dance.
The tag match, yeah.
Which was an amazing show.
Yeah,
it
was a great show.
You had the Grand Prix tournament. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Gosh,
that was great.
That whole show from top to bottom, I couldn't find a bad match in it.
I'd love to watch it back. I'd really love to watch it back. I know I just put him over, but just imagine like me air smacking Chris wherever he's at. Dude, make some DVDs, bro. Come on, you're gonna make a ton of money.
Yeah.
And half of it's gonna be on me just buying copies to just sell again. Like, come on, what are you doing? But I'm in agreement with you guys. I think that it was just a fabulous show, and I don't know if it was – Dan, it might have been you who said, I feel like at this point everyone's just kind of like, oh, yeah, we'll watch this.
Yeah.
Like going over time and, like, busting out crazy stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah. The whole show was great. I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
I think
that attitude is the attitude of like, well, if you did this, then I've got to do this.
Right.
I think that's so good for wrestling, man. It makes everybody want to be better. It makes everybody work harder and push harder. And I'm such a fan of that.
That was always the way that I was trained. It wasn't like, hey, you're opening match and it has to be a certain way or whatever, you know. It was always try to one up the match that's either in front of you or behind you.
Exactly. Yes. So. Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right as far as that goes. I think it was Excalibur who said that about PWG. That's the attitude that they try to instill in their guys. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, if you're not going out,
guys take a trip up to PWG? I thought I heard y'all talking about it or something.
I wish.
Oh, okay.
I wish. Okay, I'm gonna mark out one more time. I love PWG so hard. Like they are the best promotion in the world. Period. Like, they have the best roster, they have the best shows, they have the best titles, best DVD packaging. Like, name a thing, they've got the best of that.
Right.
Well, TV. They don't have the best TV.
So,
because they don't have TV. But, I mean, whatever.
I'm going to get creamed for this one, I know, by social media or anyone else. I am not a fan of the Young Bucks. There, I said it.
You won't get creamed by me.
Okay, I know that I can say this because he's my friend. Man, I hate Mo so much. Awesome. And I love the Young Bucks, bro. Like, they pretty much, I think that their gimmick is such a clever meta thing because, like, you know, I saw their matches from, like, 2008 and 9 where they were pretty much just, like, spot monkeys. They were essentially just spot monkeys. Like,
right. Okay,
here's a front flip, snapmare, cartwheel, kick you back, backflip, shooting star, and, two count. And I was just like, you know, okay, that's pretty and all. But since, like, 2010 or 11, I feel like they have really become something phenomenal. Like, absolutely. I think they're probably the best thing in wrestling. If I was to go out and win $1 million by some strange thing, I'd pay off my student loan, buy a nice house, you know, make sure my folks are set up, brothers are set up, do some nice charitable things. But then I'd probably start wrestling first. The first thing I'd do is get the Young Bucks. They're amazing. They sell merch. They put people in the seats. They're awesome.
I'll say excuse me. I'll say this. As much as I don't like them, the object of professional wrestling is to get people talking about you.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh yeah.
Everybody in professional wrestling is talking about them.
The biggest problem I've had with the Young Bucks, and I guess it's here lately, is when they did that stuff with the kid. I did not.
Okay. I can understand that. I can understand that completely. I feel like that was something that if you were to say, and I mean, I guess you are saying, and correct me, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You're saying that you intensely dislike that. You feel like that deteriorates or is a detriment on wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, because there's also a company in Georgia that was actually having they would have matches with nothing but kids, and that absolutely disgusted me as well.
It's disgusting. I feel like that might have been questionable, but again, you know, I'm not the Young Bucks. I can't tell them how to live their lives and do their thing.
Right.
Would I ever a backdrop driver or package pile drive an 8-year-old? Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And it makes me look like a boob as much as it does the kid and the promotion. But I mean, like, now the Bucks, them doing it, it almost is, it's their gimmick. I think that their gimmick is essentially a middle finger to professional wrestling and to its norms and to its expectations. It's like, Okay, well, I'm supposed to do this. Well, my character says I'm not supposed to do that. That is genius. Another thing I'm really big stressing on, I feel like I'm talking way too much, is that wrestling is
no, that's why we had you on the show,
and wrestling
Andrew.
Well, then what am I talking about?
There you go.
Wrestling is so subjective, and I think that wrestling is art. I really do. And I mean, my job outside of wrestling is I am an artist. I'm an artist. I design. Wrestling is so artistic. And if what they want to do is they want to throw paint at the canvas, Jackson Pollock made a ton of money doing that.
Yep.
Still does. The Bucks are great. But, I mean, on the same note with children, have you ever seen and this is another guy that I would sing the praises of for Infinity, is Kenny Omega. His clip in Japan for DDT, which is another fabulous promotion, where he wrestles the 9-year-old girl Haruka, who was professionally trained, and literally, she decided. Her parents loved her wrestling. The promotion loved her wrestling. She just said she wanted to go finish college before she kept wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she's still in college. But Haruka, the 9-year-old girl, and Kenny Omega had probably a 5-minute match that literally entertained me more than WWE has in years.
Wow.
And
I'm going to look that up.
No, absolutely. I'll see if I can find the link, and I'll send it to you guys here soon. But
yeah.
It's amazing. Like, she's doing, like, dives off the top to the floor and, like, head scissors, and, like, she's got fighting spirit against Kenny Omega, and he's setting her up for, like, all these big spots, and the people are just, no, Kenny Omega, you're terrible, don't you hurt that little guy. And she comes up like a head scissor, and they're just, you know, losing their minds, and they're like, this is amazing, Haruka's gonna beat Kenny Omega. And, you know, man, if you're watching wrestling other than to be entertained, or to learn, I guess, if you're a wrestler watching it to learn. But if you're not, you're watching it to be entertained. If you're not, then I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Right, right.
And that's entertaining, and it's fabulous. But I will agree with you. The thing with the kids, because I remember the next day I saw it, and I was just like, I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Well, let me talk again.
I don't throw a good super kick, so maybe that's another reason I wouldn't know.
There you go.
Hey, you throw a badass spinning heel kick, just so you know.
Yep.
Oh, thanks. That's really sweet. The match that you saw, and I have to say, I was with a great guy, Jeremiah Plunkett. He's great. You know, he wrestled in Australia against their NWA Australian heavyweight champion, Chris Target.
Oh, yeah.
And they had some great matches. He's wrestled Satoshi Kojima, the NWA heavyweight champion and a legend of New Japan. So anyway, he can actually wrestle guys that are really good. So, I mean, for me to even have the opportunity to be in there with him was just great. And I had a great time with him.
And we were and you mentioned something here a few minutes ago. We were talking about this. This was basically the basis of our show today. What can the WWE do to fix their products right now? Because their ratings are kind of in the crapper.
Yeah, I saw that. Isn't it like the lowest it's been in years, this most recent Raw? See, I'm not contributing. I feel terrible because, like, I could at least, like, have now – because Monday is my late night at work at my job. I could at least have my girlfriend, you know, hey, we could at least just flip it over to USA if you're not going to be in there. Like, give them a rating, please. Like, I feel like I could contribute in some way, but, you know, I didn't watch it. So I can't discuss the show with you, but I can discuss the product. And I think, before I say this, what are your guys' opinions? What do you think could be done?
My opinions, the main thing for me was commentary.
Cutting down from three hours.
Going down from to a two-hour show on Monday nights.
Okay.
You know, not having Kane in your main event these days.
Man, I love Kane.
I do, but we've
Clifford
missed
Kane. Like,
and I do.
Man wrestles in slacks, bro. That's amazing.
As much as we've hated on Kane this episode, you know, I do have to point out that Downtown Bruno was instrumental in him getting a job in WWE.
Yeah, guys. Yeah, which is it? Do you love Bruno or do you hate Kane?
Oh, my God.
I'm with you, Bruno. And Kane, bro, I like politics enough. I like to read. I don't have much hair. I'm tall. I'm kind of portly. Let's be bros. Let's be bros. Hit me up, Kane. I'm
on
Twitter.
If we ever get him on the show, we'll be sure to throw your name at him there.
Well, please, man. Have me in as like a surprise guest caller. Just like, so, we got this guy who just said you're a cool bro. Oh, yeah? So, no, that's great. But to bounce back, I think you guys are kind of on the money. That seems to be the popular opinion, you know. 2 hours, I think that would be great because, let's look at the competition. In my opinion, and they're out of season currently, but the best wrestling television show is Lucha Underground.
Yes,
because they make me have to watch.
Yes.
I like that
soap opera vignette, filter that they put over all of their backstage segments and stuff like that. I love that.
Well, see, that's another thing I said about that's wrong with the WWE is those stupid backstage vignettes where they act like a camera's not there.
Yeah.
You know, you go back and watch an old USWA show or anything like that, you know, all the interviews were done right in front of Lance Russell. He was right there. They both talked into the camera. And I'd like to see going back to promos like that, too.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, you could use a more modern, like I remember like 2002 and 3 Raw. You have just a television that says Raw, a red backdrop, and Terry Reynolds with a microphone. I mean, that's the same thing. It's just in a different setting.
Does Terry Reynolds have
a
cooking
show?
I
feel like if you're I mean, Terry is definitely no Lance Russell. Sorry, Terry, if you're listening to this show.
No. Did you hear what I said?
No, what'd you say?
I said, does Terry Reynolds have a cooking show?
No. Dude, I don't know what she's up to, man.
I'd be watching that.
Gosh,
I'm sorry.
I hope she's doing well, though. I hope she's doing well, though. Gosh, that's terrible. I mean,
you guys got your Emma cooking show. Why can't I have my Terry Reynolds cooking show?
Oh, man. I'd watch it. Again, I'm going to have to download the Bruno episode. And I've got to go watch the Emma cooking show. And I really need to watch the video game show too. But that's beside the point. I think that if WWE wanted to take their backstage segments and their their out of the ring stuff and put more of this is kind of a taboo word, but put more of a scripted feel to it. You know, what happens in the arena is in the arena. What happens backstage is something that like. Is script? I don't know. I don't know.
You know, maybe.
I don't know, man. I think that there's a million different options. Well, but I mean, they're gonna continue doing what brought them to the dance, and that's what they do every Monday. They think that is what works.
I would be fine if like backstage stuff didn't even happen that often. If everything happened in front of the curtain.
Well, I think the main drive and the force that would make them change whatever's wrong would have to be competition. And
that's
none.
Number one.
Sure.
Number one.
If there ever is another Ted Turner that walks in and goes, I'm going to get in the wrestling business, WWE will be in trouble. You know, and they've got a monopoly going. They really do. But
I think so.
There's only one real show that's watchable, and that's NXT.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ring of Honor, I like what they've done.
I think NXT is very good.
New Japan.
I think you're right. I really do. I will say, and again, I'm trying to be positive, trying to live a much more positive
right.
life, but commentary, man.
I hate it.
I feel so... labored. Labored is such a good word for it, because I feel like they just don't care. I feel like in their minds, it's like, nobody will ever hear this. Let's just have a good time, am I right?
That was exactly what our conversation was before you got on the phone with us. That was exactly what our conversation was, because we were nobody's talking about the match. JBL and Cole are on the end there passing back and forth with inside jokes and crap. You know, yeah, and it's almost like being in a frat house and watching TV, but you're on the couch alone.
Gosh, frat house. That's the perfect way to look at it. It's a frat house. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like that because obviously, you know, who are you guys' favorite commentary teams? There's another question. Who are you guys' favorite commentaries?
Dave Brown and Lance Russell.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody beats Lawler and JR on the mic. Nobody really beats that. You know, I listened to that on Raw Monday for too long for it not to happen anymore. You know,
let's use those two as examples. Then, like, say that there are jokes between them. It's not like they're just like snapmare posing, logic, reason. Like, they're not doing that. You know, they're going to put some oomph and some sizzle with the steak, but
yeah. And you know, you always laughed when you heard. We always laughed when you heard JR say something about barbecue sauce or, you know, anything like that. You know,
exactly.
Yeah, but you got the joke. You didn't like. You didn't have to like think about what Cole and JBL are saying and trying to get the joke that they're trying to get over.
Lawler had the quickest wit too.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like when the ECW guys came out, it's like I liked him more when they were on the Lucky Charms box there, man.
That was a good line. I do like that one, and that's fine. I mean, even shows like PWG, Chikara, they have commentators who you can tell are friends outside of the business and outside of the, you know, the aura of character, but they're going to call the action. If one of them says, like, you know, let's just say somebody messes up in the ring and they say, oh, well, that'll be on Botchamania. And then Jesus, and they do like little Botchamania bits, you know, that's understandable. But then the very next thing they say is going to be like, you know, and there's Ophidian with the, you know, the snake whip or something, whatever you're doing, you know, they go back to the action. And I'm not saying I want somebody to come and be, you know, just straight professional because, I mean, in our conversation, you can tell I like a little flavor. So,
yeah,
I mean, let's just be realistic, though. I don't want them to gabble on and on about nonsense whenever, you know, they have a product that could be so much more than it is, and I think we should acknowledge that.
I think Mike Tenay spoiled us.
Spoiled.
Mike Tenay spoiled us by watching every match and calling every move.
Yes. We're spoiled now. I will say, though, in defense, and this is, well, I don't guess it's defense, it's just a random note about the commentary team, is I love doing a JBL impression. I really just love doing wrestling impressions in general.
Yeah.
But my JBL one, I'm a big fan of. Yeah. I'm a real big fan of.
All right, hit us with it.
Michael.
I love it, Michael. We're going to see a rail in the night, boys. It's going to be crappy. Nothing to do. the real key is that, like, no syllable sounds like what it's supposed to sound like.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a big believer in that. I'm a big believer in that.
Oh, man, that's great.
That's great.
I feel like I do a really good Reno Diamond, too.
Oh, Reno.
Oh,
yeah, I've told Reno, and I feel bad because, like, I don't know if Reno likes me anymore, if we're, like, friends anymore, but I saw him at the SPW reunion show, and I was really happy to see him. You know, I was happy to see everybody. I was really happy to see him, though, just because in the time since, anybody I meet that knows him, I have to do my impression. I'll have to do it now, of course.
Yeah.
Reno,
of course.
If you're listening, Reno, you're the man, and I love you. I hope we're still friends. And if we're not friends, then sorry. Okay, so.
All right, let me just tell you guys something right now. If I was Reno Diamond, I would talk like this. Am I right?
And this is why Michael Ward comes out and talks for
you. Well, let me tell you something, baby. We can have a whole conversation and wrestling talk like this, baby.
Uh-huh.
I love it. I love it, Michael. It's perfect.
I tell you, I love it too, baby. This is the Oversell Podcast, and these guys are great. Right here, we're next to me in the Oversell Podcast.
All right, Dusty, JBL, y'all settle down.
Well, Drew, do you have any shows coming up, bud?
Shows? Actually, as of right now, I'm kind of taking a break for the holidays. Kind of just chilling. The original promotion that I ever worked at, SCWA in Raymer, Tennessee, they have a lot of guys that are really good.
Is Don Sandoval Bass still associated with them or not?
No, he actually has sold his share of the company. The other day I was at a
I was actually at a visitation. One of my one of the guys that I trained with in wrestling, Danny Daniels, he passed away this past week, and I saw the guys who were, you know, running SPWA, and they were selling, you know, they were telling me about how things have been going in business and stuff. And
I did see a lot of that on Facebook where he had passed away. Did he have a wrestling nickname at all? Because I want to say I knew him, but
did he what? I'm sorry.
Did he have a wrestling nickname at all?
He was Bad Company Danny Daniels was his work name.
Okay.
And he did some gimmicks of, you know, of course I wasn't at SPW. I haven't been in since 2000 something or other. So, you know, I don't want to tell about them. You know, it's not really my place, but I think it was obviously very sad because we graduated high school together. So, I mean, he's just 24, 25 years old.
That's, wow.
It's very sad, but I saw the guys and they said that Don was no longer associated with the show. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Dan is a big fan of Corey. I know Corey Daniels.
Yeah.
And Corey wrestles for, SPWA, Sandoval, who I may or may not be blood relatives with, you know, kayfabe. He's awesome. And,
I love him.
I wish Kyle, which is not Sandoval's name.
Right.
But,
not at all.
You know, if he was to have a name in English, Kyle is what I would call him.
Yeah.
If I wish he would just have a little more want to. And, you know, I'm really happy because he texted me today and said, I'm going to work for SPWA Saturday. I think I'm going to wrestle Corey. And I was like, I might have to come watch. You know,
yeah,
like that,
yeah.
That's probably going to be a really good match.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, Chris Styles and Josh Matthews. Josh, who I love and who should have been huge years ago. He's going to be there. I think he wrestles there a lot.
Yeah.
And I know I'm forgetting guys. Austin Carrier, who is hysterical. Like I think he's working on a new gimmick where he's essentially going to be Chris Farley. I think he's been planning it for a while. Isn't that going to be amazing?
Oh,
man?
God, that's going to be awesome.
Is he the guy that won the West Tennessee championship?
No, he's not.
Austin was the champion, and
okay,
he
gotcha.
Lost it in that
gotcha.
Match.
Okay, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. I think he lost it to Jared Ethan, but that's him doing Chris Farley is going to be awesome.
No, absolutely. Kenneth and he have been doing, and see now, if this is not related to wrestling, I'm going to have to like smack them both in the face for making me sound like an idiot in front of your listeners. But like, I think they're like recording vignettes of like him jumping up and smashing a Coke can and then like flexing his muscles like he's done something amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like if that's going to be for a show, then like, yes.
Yeah.
T-shirts
yeah.
now. Pictures now. Get me all of it.
That would be great.
Because Austin's going to make it to the dance if that's the case.
I'm trying to think
of who else we can put over because I don't want to just talk about me. Like,
well, actually, we need to wrap up. We're kind of overtime.
Already? It sounds like we've just been talking for a minute. That's terrible.
Hey, well, no, we've been going for a while.
This has been a very fun interview.
Yeah, yeah. Man. This is awesome. We want to save some to have you on the show later.
Yeah, man.
Know?
Yeah.
You don't get to be on
Thursday,
just one show, you know.
Yeah, I'm free next Thursday, I guess.
All right. Well, we'll see what we have open.
Oh, nice. Okay. Cool.
Where can folks find you on social media?
Okay. I have a page on Facebook you can like. It's Andrew Palmer. Just look that up, and I perform under other various guises as the Nacho Butcher. I've been on internet pay per view and. You know, seen across the world as the Nacho Butch. I hear chuckling, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you. That right there is exactly why I like playing again.
Now, tell him, wait, Derek, hold on and take a breath. Tell him your chef name, the chef gimmick that you did.
Oh, bro, okay. The kosher chef, Andrew Goldstein.
Yeah.
Man, okay, so pretty much, and Dan can vouch for this. My first show that I ever, like, I think it was, like, ended up being, like, a 700-person crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, it was huge, huge, huge thing for me. The guy, I haven't mentioned Jeremy Flint. The guy who got me the show was Jeremy Flint, who is literally astounding. I think he's, like, my wrestling dad. Like, you know, you have brothers in wrestling,
but there's always a guy who's older than you who, like, just genuinely wants what's best for you. And Jeremy is, I think, that guy for me. You know, and obviously, Dan, I love you, Dan. Dan is like a wrestling uncle. But yeah. Anyway, not the weird uncle. Dan would be like the fun uncle who gets you, like, wrestling figures for Christmas. It's not the weird uncle that tries to, like, hey, what's going on with you? You growing your mustache yet? Cool. But anyway, Jeremy is fabulous. He got me the show, but Kevin Brannon, who promotes IWA Deep South and LXW, two of the shows that I really like working for and I've gotten to do a lot of cool stuff for, he was like, well, I like this kid. You know, he can work, he can bump, does some cool spots, but I think he needs to have a gimmick, Jeremy. So yeah. He was like, well, he looks like he's Jewish. Is he Jewish? And Jeremy was like, well, no, he's a Christian cat, not Jewish. pretty much they were like, well, I want to do a chef character, but he looks like a Jewish chef. Bam, good, do it, sign it up. So Jeremy was like, hey, I got you this match. You know, you're going to wrestle against me. It's going to be a big crowd, going to be a good show, lots of cool guys. But you need to buy a chef costume. And I was like, what? So I have this whole different accent I talk in, and it's just amazing, guys. It's weird.
We were even talking about this gimmick about how he should like roll out with a rollout grill and start like grilling stuff ringside.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, like he stops in the middle of the match because he's got to flip the shit over.
I know. There's so many, like we've come up with gimmick after gimmick after gimmick for this. Like, you know, and Kevin. Kevin, who is like, he does death matches and stuff, and you know, I would never, absolutely not. But he's been like, boy, I wish you'd do death matches. We could do like grill match and shish kebab match. He's like, it would be literally perfect. And I was like, okay, yeah, you should have given the chef gimmick to somebody else, buddy. Anyway, you know, time progresses, and eventually Kevin turns me into Nacho Butcher, and through Nacho Butcher, I got to work with, at a show in July, I got to wrestle with Man Scout Jake Manning, who is insanely awesome. Yeah. And he and his partner Seth Bowman, they are the guys that run High Spots. And so I've got all the bros at High Spots are their homies, Seth and Jake. And, they're awesome. And on that same show, I actually got to wrestle Cliff Compton, who was Domino in WWE.
Heck yeah!
And,
wow!
Yeah, he was really really cool, and he loved. We had just a stupid match together. The ring was all wet and there was glitter everywhere. You can buy it on DVD at highspots.com. But it was incredible. And after the match, I said, you know, Cliff, please, sir, is there anything that I can work on to be better? And he said, this character of yours, whatever it is. And he kind of looked me up and down with this like weird sneer on his face. He was like, it's working for you. All right. Cool. So I shook his hand, like, walked away.
Nice.
So, you know, hey, wrestling has provided me so many opportunities, man. God is so good to us, and he hooks us up, bro.
Yeah, seriously.
He really does.
It really is amazing, like, the doors that have opened for me in the last 7 years on different things and different projects and being able to do other things through wrestling and stuff, so... But we need to cut off the interview.
Gosh, yeah.
Are we going to go another hour?
Yeah, really? Social media. But I have a Facebook page, Andrew Palmer. I'll usually post about, like, if I decide I'm getting new T-shirts or wherever I'm going to wrestle, I'll post it on there. You can follow me on Twitter. I am at Twitter, at Drew is okay, because I'm okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to get more into Instagram, man.
Yeah.
My Instagram handle is at Remember This Drew. I had to get something memorable so I wouldn't forget it. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
That is awesome.
Thanks.
Well, we've enjoyed having you on, man. It's always awesome to talk to you and everything and just reminisce about all the fun we've had in the ring and everything.
It's been great, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. But we're going to wrap it up here, and we're going to wrap up the show here shortly, too. So.
Yes. Drew, we do thank you for coming on, man. It's been a lot of fun, and we're going to have you back on soon.
Beautiful. Hey, thank you guys so much. And guys, keep listening to the Oversell podcast. This is three dudes who are really smart and who are just trying to do something that they love. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, support them. Come on. Give them a download.
Give us a chance.
It helps the algorithm, kids.
There you go. And visit oversellpodcast.com and buy lots of expensive stuff from Amazon through oversellpodcast.com.
Yeah.
All right, Drew, man. We do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thanks, Drew.
Bye. Welcome back to the Oversell Podcast. Hope you enjoyed our interview with SPW's Andrew Palmer. That was a really fun interview.
Yeah. Guys, that's awesome.
Extremely nice guy. Funny guy. Very down to earth. And
yeah.
We'll have to get him back on some other time. Guys, I put a question on our Twitter account. You can follow us at Oversell Podcast. I'm at Shropnuts, SCHROPNUTS.
I am at One Dangerous Dan.
At WolfMike23.
And I asked if you could be on a tag team with any wrestler, dead or alive, past or present, who would you pick? First one I got was from my buddy Shaggy Black, who was one of the guys on the three-handled, moss-covered wrestling podcast, TTHMC.
Love that name.
On Twitter. And his was Owen Hart, which... That's a damn good pick, man.
Yeah.
Owen Hart, especially like if you think about the tag teams he was on.
Yeah.
He was a certain dynamic of a tag team.
I think he won the tag titles like two or three times.
Yeah. And if he was with Knightville, he was the technical flying speed guy. Mm-hmm. If he was with Brett, his style worked with about everybody. Let's see. Next one I see is from the Kayfabe Connection, my buddy Fred. He said, great question. That is a tough one. He would pick Rowdy Roddy Piper. Man, the Rowdy one.
That'd be a great one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he went on. Let's see. I am as outspoken as he was, and traveling with someone as unpredictable as him would be an insanely good time. I met him on more than one occasion. He will be missed. Rest in peace. You can follow Fred at the letter K, Fabe Connection. Really good podcast, too. Talks a lot about NJ, PW, PWG. All those guys. Mike, who we got next?
We'll go with Papa Joe. He chose Brock.
That's a bum pick.
Brock.
You don't want Brock as your tag team partner.
You'll never have to tag in.
Exactly, yeah.
Well,
and knowing Papa Joe, that's exactly the thought process he has. It's like, I don't have to get in the ring.
I don't have to get in the ring.
Yeah,
I'll carry around both titles for Brock.
Actually, booking-wise...
I'll start the match.
Yeah.
Tag Brock, that's it.
Yeah, well, and like every time he gets in, like I could see... Brock getting putting the guy down and Joseph wanting to get tagged in, and the guy quickly reverses him and hits Joe, and he goes back and tags Brock in. He has the look on his face like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So, okay, I guess when you book it like that, yeah, that works for me.
I see him jumping off of Brock's shoulders.
I see him. For some reason, I could see Joseph doing a hellacious tornado DDT. I don't know why.
We need a video of that, Joe.
Who do we got next, Mike?
We got producer George.
George.
Marty Jannetty.
Okay.
Well, I would only
why?
The only reason I would tag with Marty Jannetty is so I could throw him through a barbershop window.
Why does George want him to why did
because his tag partners seem to have quite a bit of single success.
Oh, that is awesome. That is so great. We also had some folks reach out to us on Facebook on our Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com/oversellpodcast. Give us a like. And just chat with us on there. Mike, I'll let you get us started.
All right. This was my favorite one from Tommy. We all know Tommy.
Yes.
Thomas Johnson.
Yeah.
He wants to team with X-Pac and every match turn on him.
That's great.
That I can see that gimmick working. And like X-Pac's always is like, all right, man, I accept your psychology. Yeah, I know things happen, man. Then boom, a super kick. Like, because Tommy would be a super kicker. I think Tommy would throw a hellacious super kick. Next up.
Because his thing is he's X-Pac.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's all he did.
Because he's X-Pac.
All right. He also said in a later post he would team with Billy Gunn and be a way better tag team partner than the Road Dog. And at the time, he called it the Worm Finisher.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he went and corrected himself. Correction.
Did
the shake, rattle, and roll, and shaky knee drop.
Shaky knee drop.
Yep. Next.
Love it.
We had Josh McClain. said he would manage CM Punk and Eddie Guerrero, and they would be the greatest tag team ever.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
The matches they would get from those two guys.
Yeah.
Would be stupendous.
And then halfway through the match, they could just wrestle each other.
I think McClain as a freaking manager would be hilarious.
I think he's done some heel managing. If I could see Josh just getting under and I love him to death, and I mean this in the best way possible. I could just see Josh yelling and getting under people's skin.
Hell yeah!
And he seems like it'd be a natural at it.
Oh yeah!
And then him with CM Punk and Eddie Guerrero as a tag team, they would rule the WWE.
Oh yeah!
All right, our friend Mo. Responded.
Uh oh.
Three-way tie between Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, and Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
Well, we knew the Shawn Michaels thing. He would say that I thought all three of them a great pick, but if it were me booking, Mo would have to be with Shawn Michaels. Now, is this pre-Michaels turning on him, or do you think it would be in his later years, or which version do you think Mo would take?
I don't know. Sensational probably Sherry. Later, the Sensational Sherry years probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would Mo go through the glass window?
Several times.
We love you, Mo. Hope you're listening.
Yeah.
All right. Our friend Drew, he said Kevin Nash, and prior to that, he said you'll find out why tonight.
And he talked a little bit about Kevin Nash.
And then, it looks like Greg Anthony.
Yep.
The Golden Boy.
Yeah. Said 10 years ago, he would have said Bobby Eaton. Then in 2009, he and Eaton formed Midnight Gold and tagged for 2 years. And now he still says Bobby Eaton.
He still says Bobby Eaton.
Hey,
I got no problem with that whatsoever.
And Alan Steele also said, I talked to him, and he said he would go with Bobby Eaton, too.
Yeah.
He also said one other. Oh, and he also said either him or Arn Anderson.
Heck yeah.
Because he brought up when Arn Anderson was with the Brainbusters.
Yeah. I'd love just a tag with Arn Anderson. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Is that it?
We had one other one, Mike Horn. He just said, I would like to wrestle Elizabeth Banks.
Thanks.
So, like, Hey, Mike.
Who wouldn't?
I agree with that.
She was funny and Pitch Perfect, I guess. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Mike, let's start with you.
It'd be a toss-up, and it's two completely different styles. One, Undertaker, just always been a fan, and... that Kurt Angle.
That's both are great picks.
And I've got an odd pick, because I specifically remember almost idolizing these guys as a tag team, and they weren't a tag team for very long because it was almost like they intentionally put them as a tag team to win the tag titles and to break them up into a singles program.
Right.
But I was a fan of the tag team of Barry Windham and Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah.
I love that tag team. And if I had to pick one of the two to be a partner of, it would be Dustin Rhodes. So,
I mean, not a lot of people
know. Right, correct. But I mean, still, even Goldust to this day, because he kind of stayed in the same move set, really.
You know?
He's got some new moves now that he does, but not, too much change from when the way he wrestled back then. So, if I had to pick, a partner, I'd say Goldust at this point. Dustin Rhodes, Goldust.
That's thinking outside the box.
Yeah,
that's something different.
That's just me watching wrestling.
Anyone who knows
over
me
over the past 20 years.
Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a fan of this guy,
Ava Marie.
No, if I could pick anyone, it would be.
Oh, God. Yep.
Yeah. I could just imagine us coming out to this song.
You would come out to his song still?
Yeah. Right here. Crowd pause. There's Darren Shrove, Nuts of Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, I can see it in your dreams now.
Yes. There's an action figure of him right up there. Hello,
yep,
Jericho.
I see it.
If you hit a button on it, it plays his entrance music, too.
It looks like he's staring at me. I can't.
Dude,
eyes are following me around the room.
George said, will Jericho spell your name right, though?
Yeah.
Oh! Man, that's a good one. That's quick. Growing up, going back to, wrestling figures and staring at you and stuff, I had two posters in my room.
Mm-hmm.
Across from my bed was Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the one perpendicular to my bed on the wall, there was an Ultimate Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
The Hulk Hogan poster freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because it always felt like whenever I moved in the room, Hulk Hogan's eyes are following me, and it really creeped me out. And like, but then like, I remember like to get myself to sleep, be like, all right, don't worry, Derek, because if Hogan tries something, Warrior's right there and won't let him get away with shit. So, well, that's going to be it for this week, you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Be sure to head over to oversellpodcast.com and check out the Amazon link. Buy lots of expensive stuff off Amazon.
Yes.
There's no extra fees, no hidden fees. You just pay for whatever you're – I mean, we get a small commission on whatever is sold through our link. And also be sure you're following us on Twitter. We just gave you those accounts. Be sure to follow at Oversell Podcast. Also, head over to facebook.com/oversellpodcast and give us a like there. As we like to end every episode, we like to do Superstar of the Week. So, guys, I ask you this. Who is your
Superstar of the Week?
Dan?
I'm going to say Ava Marie because I saw a post where she said, I need some me time, and she was over in Paris. Stay your ass over in Paris, bitch.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
Mike?
I'm going with Emma. Because she taught me how to cook a PB&J French toast.
Oh, my God. We're done. This show's over. I can't even think of a superstar of the week now. Crap. Just because I like him a lot, give me Dean Ambrose. That's who's my superstar.
There you go.
You know you want it to be Kane.
No. I don't want it to be Kane.
You know you want it to be corporate Kane.
All right, it's getting bad here, folks. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading.
Yeah, he's got a cooking show coming out.
Oh, God. Cooking. I bet you Kane is a hell of a grill master. All right. Well, we are going to get out of here. Thank you for listening, folks. Just a reminder, this is the Oversell Podcast.